Well, Lord our God, we are so thankful for these moments before us where we have the privilege to feed in the green pastures of your word. We pray that you would bless us as we do so, that you would open our hearts to receive your word. And Father, especially this morning as we turn our attention to that subject of the home and the calling upon children and parents, it's our prayer, O Lord, that you would indeed work mightily in each one of our hearts, that parents and children would confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that through the ministry of your word this morning, you would grant to us a fair meeting with Christ, that we would rejoice in the good news of the gospel. And Father, especially for those parents who have children or grandparents who have grandchildren who are not walking with you, we pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them, that they may not give up hope, but that we would continue to bring our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones before you, trusting that your mercy is great, trusting that your grace abounds even to the chief of sinners. And so, O Lord, may we not lose hope, but may we ask big things of you, because as we've already heard, you are indeed a great and big God. So bless us with your word this morning, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be considering together this morning verses 1 through 4 as we continue to make our way through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. This is one of those occasions again where we rejoice in God's good and kind providence as we not only had the opportunity to witness the sacrament of baptism this morning, but also in God's providence are considering a passage that talks very much about parenting and about our children and God's view of them. And so fitting for us to look at these verses together this morning. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. And beloved, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen in these last chapters of Paul's letter to the Ephesians this emphasis on our Christian walk, what it means to live as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most notably, in these last weeks, we've seen Paul call us to walk in wisdom. Wisdom, as we've said, is not just intellectual knowledge. You can know a lot of things and still lack wisdom. Wisdom is really the skill of godly living, the art of godly living, or as one preacher put it, it's the ability to view your earthly circumstances from a heavenly perspective. Well, last Lord's Day, we saw Paul apply that to the institution of marriage. This morning, we see him apply that to children and parents in the home. Even as husbands and wives need the gospel in marriage, so children and parents need the gospel in the home. Perhaps you noticed the sermon title for this morning's message. I titled the sermon, Without Fear Before the Judgment Seat of Christ. Without fear before the judgment seat of Christ. That phrase comes from a prayer in one of our old baptismal forms. Maybe some of you remember that from years ago. It's a phrase that I think sets really the context for our parenting. This is our prayer for our children, is it not? It's what we want above all things for them. We can give them so many things in life, but the one thing we can't give them is their salvation. And we are absolutely dependent on the Lord for that. And so our prayer for our children is that indeed God would give them that great gift of salvation, that by His grace and by His grace alone, one day they would appear without fear before the judgment seat of Christ. That can only happen by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is the very thing to which Paul points us in our text this morning. Our text is really quite simple. It begins with an exhortation to children in verse 1. Paul then has a few words to say about the law and the gospel in verses 2 and 3. And then he ends with an exhortation to fathers in verse 4. And so we'll follow that brief outline this morning as we dive into this text together. Notice how Paul begins with an exhortation to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we don't want to miss the fact here that Paul begins this passage by addressing children. Paul doesn't begin by addressing parents. He doesn't say here in Ephesians 6 verse 1, parents, make sure your children are obeying you. He begins by saying, children, obey your parents. And it's noteworthy that Paul addresses children here in his letter to the Ephesians, because as with all of his letters to the churches, Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians with the intention that this letter would be read in the church. He intended his letters to be read when God's people assembled together on the Lord's Day in church for corporate worship. And the fact that he addresses children here in this letter tells us that children were there in the corporate worship of God's people on the Lord's Day. They were there in the church. They were there for the worship service. Boys and girls, that means very simply, you belong here in church with your mom and dad. This is where you ought to be. And parents, especially those of you with young children, you're doing the right thing by bringing your children here to church. It can be challenging. It can be difficult at times, but your children belong here. That's why we have noted on the inside cover of the bulletin, maybe you've read that before, but on the inside cover of our bulletin, we have a few words of explanation about what the sermons will be on for the day, and then there's a word to visitors. But right after that, we have a few statements considering children in worship. And there it says, the Bible teaches that the children of believers are part of Christ's visible church. Therefore, we don't have a children's church, but welcome and encourage our covenant children to participate in the worship service. At their baptism, we promise, as a congregation, to receive them in love, to pray for them, to help care for their instruction in the faith, and to encourage and sustain them in the fellowship of believers. And so parents, especially parents of young children, we want you to know we want your children here. They belong here in worship. Even more than that, Jesus wants your children here. He wants them to hear the gospel. We read in Matthew 19 verse 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. So that's the first thing I want us to note in our text this morning, is that children belong in church. And then notice the exhortation that's given to children as they gather here in church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Those words are important words, not only the word obey, but also the words in the Lord. In fact, the words in the Lord are every bit as important, if not more important, than the words obey, because it reminds you, boys and girls, children, that as you obey your parents, you are obeying the Lord. When you listen to your mom and dad, it's a pleasing thing to Jesus. When you obey your mom and dad, you're living in the way that Jesus has called you to live. And it's a reminder to us as well that children of believers are included in the covenant together with their parents. That's why children belong in worship. Worship, after all, is a covenant renewal. And those who belong to the covenant should be here for that renewal. Children of believers belong in the covenant renewal service because they are covenant children. Reminded of that in the Heidelberg Catechism, as it goes through the sacrament of baptism, it comes to the final question and answer on baptism, question and answer 74, and it asks, should infants also be baptized? And the answer that is given is this, yes, infants as well as adults are included in God's covenant and people. And they, no less than adults, are promised deliverance from sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who works faith. Therefore, by baptism, the sign of the covenant, they too should be incorporated into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. Well, of course, as we said a few moments ago, baptism itself doesn't save, but it proclaims to us the one who does save. Baptism proclaims the gospel. It proclaims the good news of salvation for sinners. The Belgic Confession, one of our other three forms of unity, explains this beautifully in Article 34. Listen to what it says about baptism. It says, "We believe and confess that Jesus Christ, in whom the law is fulfilled, has by his shed blood put an end to every other shedding of blood, which anyone might do or wish to do in order to atone or satisfy for sins. Having abolished circumcision, which was done with blood, he established in its place the sacrament of baptism. By it we are received into God's church and set apart from all other people and alien religions, that we may be dedicated entirely to him, bearing his mark and sign. It also witnesses to us that he will be our God forever, since he is our gracious Father. Therefore, he has commanded that all those who belong to him be baptized with pure water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In this way, he signifies to us that just as water washes away the dirt of the body when it is poured on us and also is seen on the body of the baptized when it is sprinkled on him, so too the blood of Christ does the same thing internally in the soul by the Holy Spirit. It washes and cleanses it from its sins and transforms us from being the children of wrath into the children of God." And then note these words. "This does not happen by the physical water, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, who is the devil, and to enter the spiritual land of Canaan." What a beautiful image is given to us there, that Jesus Christ is our Red Sea, the one through whom we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, who is the devil, and to enter into the spiritual land of Canaan, to enter into heaven itself. And of course, that is the thing we want for our children, isn't it? We want for them to enter into the true heavenly land, the true promised land. And so what do we need to do? We need to bring them to church, where the gospel is proclaimed and where the Holy Spirit is pleased to work to create faith in their hearts and to bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. You see, the gospel promise is for children as well as adults. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Boys and girls, that's a promise you need to remember, even as you are called to obey your parents. Paul says, this is right that you obey your parents. This is righteous if it is just. This is how God has created the home to work. And certainly as Paul thinks about that which is right, it leads him to the law. Notice what he writes next in verse 2. He says, "Honor your father and mother." Paul quotes here from the fifth commandment. And I think it's noteworthy that while commandments 1 through 4 deal with our relationship to God, commandments 5 through 10 deal with our relationship to others. And the first of these relationships is the relationship that we have with our parents. We're called to honor them. Again, I would encourage you to go home this afternoon and read question and answer 104 of the Heidelberg Catechism that reminds us that the fifth commandment, in the fifth commandment, we're called to honor all those in authority over us, and that begins in the home, and we're to be patient with those in authority over us, including our moms and dads, through their failures, because our Lord is pleased to rule us through them. It's also noteworthy, I think, on the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that there is no age restriction to this commandment. It's not just for toddlers. It's not just for teenagers. It's for all of us. Every one of us here has a mom, has a dad. Every one of us is called to honor our parents, even if you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. We're called to show honor to our parents, respect to our parents, no matter how old we are and no matter how old they are. So how can you honor your parents today? Maybe it's praying for them. Maybe it's listening to them. Maybe it's expressing a word of thanks to them. Maybe it's a phone call. We have great reason to honor our parents, not just because this commandment is found in the law, but also, as Paul goes on to point out, it's a commandment that's motivated by the gospel. Notice the end of verse 2 and also verse 3. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Well, here Paul interrupts his quotation of the fifth commandment to add a parenthetical statement. Not just a parenthetical statement, but a gospel statement. The fifth commandment, Paul reminds children and parents, is the first and only commandment that carries with it a promise. And the promise is long life in the land. Now, we've seen in recent weeks that Paul here in Ephesians 4 and 5 certainly has the wisdom literature of the Old Testament in mind, keeping a heavenly perspective on our earthly circumstances. And that theme continues here. This is how life works best. This is how things go best. Honor your parents in the Lord, and generally speaking, things will go well with you. Disobey your parents. Fail to give heed to their instruction, and generally speaking, things will not go as well with you. You can read the book of Proverbs. It's chock full with these types of instructions. Children, listen to your parents. Heed their instruction, and life will go well. Generally speaking, that's the way things work. But Paul is interested in more than just general truths. He's interested in the gospel and making that gospel known. And so you may be asking, where is the gospel in all of this? Well, you need to think back to the Old Testament. You need to think back to the Garden of Eden. You need to think back to the promised land of Canaan. Think back to the garden. Adam and Eve would have lived long in the land. They would have lived long in the garden had they obeyed the word of God. But they disobeyed and they were banished. And how did that go for them? Well, life became hard east of Eden. Or you think of the nation of Israel as a whole, called by God His Son. Israel would have lived long in the land had they been obedient to the voice of God their Father, but they disobeyed and they were exiled from the land and carried off into Babylon and Assyria. And how did life go for them? Well, life became hard in a foreign land. But you see, beloved, there is one far greater than Adam. And there is one far greater than Israel. And that is the true Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and obeyed His Heavenly Father in all things. In fact, He's the one who said, My food, my meat is to do the will of my Heavenly Father. And not only did Jesus obey His Heavenly Father, but He obeyed His earthly parents as well. You may think of that time at the age of 12 where He was in the temple teaching the rabbis and His parents came looking for them and He obeyed when they called Him to go back with them to their home. He was obedient in all things to His Heavenly Father, to His earthly parents. He was the perfect keeper of the fifth commandment. And yet, he didn't live long in the land, did he? And why not? Because he bore our sins. Because he bore our transgressions of the law. He suffered the penalties for our sin, for your sins and mine, and including our sins against the fifth commandment. All those times we didn't listen to our parents. Those times we disobeyed them. Those times we spoke ill of them. Those times we didn't honor them or respect them. He bore all of those sins upon the cross. And it was his blood that washed away those sins. And not only that, but it's his righteousness, his keeping of the fifth commandment and all the other commandments that is now given to us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so what do we do with our sin? Maybe your relationship with your parents isn't very good. Maybe you know that there are many sins you need to repent of. What do you do with that? Well, you run to Jesus with your sins, because it's in Jesus alone that God looks upon you as if you have never sinned nor been a sinner. As if you had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for you. You see what Jesus has done for us by keeping all the commandments, including the fifth commandment. He secured the eternal land of heaven for all who believe in him, boys and girls as well. It is only by believing in Jesus that you can appear without terror before the judgment seat of God. And you can appear without terror because in Christ your blood, your sins are washed away, and you stand righteous before God's throne as Christ himself is righteous. Well, the life that we live here on earth is to be defined and to be shaped and molded by that life that is to come. But that life lived here and now in this world is a life that needs to be nourished. And parents play an important role in that nourishment. And so we come finally to verse 4, just briefly. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul begins here with an exhortation to fathers. Now, he doesn't mention mothers, and yet they are certainly also in view, even as children are called to honor their father and mother in the Lord. So both fathers and mothers are to train their children. And Paul puts it negatively first. Do not provoke your children to anger. As he'll say in a moment, we do need to discipline them. We do need to instruct them. But we need to do so carefully, not always focusing on what they do wrong, on how they've messed up, on their failures. We're not to beat them over the head with the law. We're to give them the grace of the gospel. And that's Paul's emphasis here. He says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word, bring them up, literally is nourish them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We all need nourishment in the good news of the gospel, and our children do as well. And so give your children warnings, but give them promises as well. Give them the law, but give them the gospel as well. Because even as you need the law and the gospel, the law to teach you of your sin and the gospel to proclaim your salvation, so your children need it too. So bring them to church, where the gospel is preached. Every Lord's Day, morning and evening, make sure your children are hearing the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And talk with them about what they're hearing in the Word. Talk with them about what they're hearing in the preaching of the gospel. Tell them that this is good news for sinners. And talk with them not only about the sermon, but about the rest of the worship service as well. Maybe pull out the bulletin with them and go through each of the steps of the worship service, each point of the order of worship. Tell them what's going on in the call to worship, that God, the great King, is calling them into His presence. What a helpful thing, especially for our children as they go into their teenage years and begin to see all that's going on in the world. What a broken world this is. What a fallen world this is. That this world is no friend to grace. To remind them that Christ sits on the throne. That He's sovereign over all. And they can live with confidence in His world, knowing that this one who sits on the throne and governs all things is the one who keeps them and holds them. That's the one calling them to worship. Teach them to call upon His name. Teach them at the very outset of the worship service, God's word to us is a word of grace and peace. What a wonderful thing for our boys and girls, our teenagers, to know that even though they, like us, have sinned in the week gone by, and even in the morning hours of this very day, that as we come into worship, the first word of their Father to them is a word of grace, a word of peace. He knows us. He knows what we've done. He knows how we've failed. But He delights to have us come. Teach your children that. Teach them to pay attention to the words that they're singing. Teach them to listen carefully as prayers are being offered and to be repeating those prayers in their own hearts and minds as well. You get the point. You can go through every aspect of the worship service. Teach them what's going on and certainly emphasize to them what's going on in the benediction. That last good word of our God that our God sends us into the week before us, not under His condemnation, but under His grace. And as you live life with your children in the home, pray with them daily. Read the Bible with them. Teach them how to read the Bible. Teach them the story of redemption. Teach them to see Christ in all of Scripture. Because again, the only way for them to appear without fear before the judgment seat of Christ is to believe in Him. For those who believe in Jesus, there is no fear on that great day. In fact, it's just the opposite. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 12, verse 26? He said, "If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." Do you get the enormity of that? Jesus has just taken the fifth commandment and turned it on its head. The commandment is honor your father and your mother. And yet what does Jesus say will happen on that last day? For all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Father will honor you. Our Heavenly Father delights to honor us, His sinful children. And it is all in Christ. And it's all because of the gospel. Beloved, there is no better foundation upon which to build your home. God's gospel promise to you and to your children is this: the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. Praise God for his promises, all of which are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we are so thankful for your word and so thankful for these words we could consider together this morning. Thank you for the exhortations we receive. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the warnings. Thank you for the encouragements. Thank you that in all these things you point us to the Lord Jesus Christ to find our comfort in belonging to him in body and soul, in life and in death. And so, Lord, help us in response to that good news of the gospel to honor our parents, to respect them, no matter what age we are or they are. And help us as parents to instruct and to train our children in the Lord, to point them always to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may we know your blessings resting upon our homes. May our homes always be built upon that foundation, and may we together look much to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, Father, for we pray these things in His name. Amen.